Welcome to the Life Church Auburn Hills Sermon Podcast. We're a multicultural community being transformed and empowered by the grace, truth, and love of Jesus. We hope that you are encouraged and challenged by this week's message.
All right, let's round those conversations up. Talking about our favorite restaurants. I have to say my favorite restaurant is a place called Pita Cafe. There's one in Birmingham. There's another in Oak Park, which is the one I typically go to. And I love Mediterranean food. And I love the garlic. And so I try my best to make sure I have mints with me. Some Altoids, because I'm in a lot of people's face and shaking hands, and I don't want to offend you, so I do make sure I have, you know, Altoids or something like that available for me. So again, good morning. It's a blessing to see each and every one of you. It's really a joy to be able to have this beautiful opportunity to worship together. And I don't know if you've ever been in a moment where you sensed something special was happening. It may have been something where you have the right time, you're at the right place, you're around the right people, and you just know something special is happening. And that's how I feel right now about what's going on at Life Church Auburn Hills. Feel like it's the right time, the right place, the right people, and we're focused on the right thing. Earlier this year, as Young alluded to earlier, he mentioned that we kicked off this series called 3C Friendships. And more than a series, this is a journey that we have embarked on. And that journey, the 3Cs again, being committed, being cross-cultural, and being Christ-centered. And we believe that in this moment, God is using these types of relationships to express his kingdom in the earth. And as a quick review, our first lesson, we dealt with the importance. We answered the question of why are 3C friendships so important? And we discussed the fact that this is not a passion simply for diversity, but this is a passion and pursuit after the gospel, because the gospel reconciles us vertically, our relationship to God, and it also reconciles us horizontally, our relationship with each other. And then we begin to digest each element of those 3 C's. And the first one, again, being committed. And the big idea is this, that as a committed friend, my concern is to earn your trust. As a committed friend, I want to earn your trust. As a cross-cultural friend, my concern is to learn your story, to hear where you've come from, to understand your background as a cross-cultural friend. And as a Christ-centered friend, my concern is to always point you and turn you into the direction of Jesus. And this month, we've been exploring building blocks of each element. And right now we're focused on the committed friendship and building block one with our friend Alexa. She taught on was being aware of our shortcomings. Now, this may be a news flash to some of you, but you're not all that. Say it with me. I feel like Dora. Say it with me. I'm not all that. And we have to be open to others speaking into our lives and showing us where we are. Because sometimes it's hard to see yourselves. And the community that God is calling us to be is to be this healthy community where, as James or Jesus' brother James said, we can confess our faults, our shortcomings to each other. This is the community he's calling us to be. And then not talk about each other, but pray for each other. And then it says the reason, or the result rather, is that you can be healed so that you can be healed. And I think a lot of times when you don't have space to confess, we walk around as if everything is going on and everything is right and it's not. But when we have relationships that we can confess and pray and cover each other, then the scripture says we can be healed. And then last week we, Young, unpacked being honest in communication, being honest, sharing your real feelings, not having these ulterior motives, but being straight up, where people will not have to guess where you're coming from. But again, to be in a relationship where you can just open up and be honest and not worry about if you'll be unfriended. And now I encourage you to, when you have a moment, to please visit our website and go ahead and binge watch or binge listen to the series to keep up to date or to just review of what's going on in this series. Today, we're led to continue this journey, and we're going to examine the building block number 3, which is being available when called. Being available when called. Now, imagine with me, you're stranded, you're on the side of the road somewhere, you have your phone, which is at 2%. And you left your charger, or your daughter took your charger, if you have a teenage daughter with a phone. You have no charger, and you have enough juice to make one phone call. Just one call. Here's a question. Who would you call? I'm going to give you some time to think about that one. Who would you call? For a lot of us, it'll be, I'm going to call Jesus because he's about the only one that'll pick up. But seriously, who would you call? And not only that, the question is, do you think one of your friends would actually choose you to be that person to call? Because here's the deal. When life calls, we have a decision to make. And let's be honest, we have incoming calls. And we have a choice to accept or to decline. And many times we look at that phone to see who it is, and we're like, nope, not today. Because we know by answering that call, we know it's going to take something from us. It's going to require something of us. There's some drama, or somebody may be calling to ask for money. Anybody got friends like that? And so you're questioning, do I answer or do I decline? And friends, we're on this life journey that when life calls, it may not be a phone call, but those calls are tugs on our heart. These are the calls that are inviting us to engage into assisting others. We have relatives that are in need and they're calling out. We have friends in need. addictions and other things, and we evaluate, do I accept or do I decline? And here's the thing. To earn your trust as a committed friend, I must be available when called. To really earn trust. Because some of you, when I asked that question, who would you call? You knew immediately who you would call. Because you know they're available. You know they'll pick up. You know they have your back. And if we're to earn trust as committed friends, we must be available. And this comes when we value the true needs of others. And so we're going to explore a very familiar passage of Scripture. And as a driving question we'll answer today is, how can we really value the true needs of others? Let's take a quick moment and pray for the rest of our time together. Father, thank you so much for this time together, and thank you for this awesome, great body of believers here. And even some may not yet be a believer, but they're here, they're inquiring. We thank you right now for this moment. We pray that you would open our eyes so we can see what it is you're doing. Open our hearts, Lord God, so we can receive your word, and open our ears so we can hear exactly what you're saying in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. In the passage I'm about to read, Jesus encounters this man who, as Young talked about last week, he had ulterior motives with his questioning. He was trying to trap Jesus. He did not come with a sincere heart or sincere motives. He was really trying to hear Jesus say something so he can accuse him and condemn him. And Jesus took on his questioning. This passage is found in Luke 10, starting verse 25. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. His motives are clearly defined. This expert came up and said, teacher, I don't know if he sounded like that, but teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He throws this question to Jesus simply to test him. And Jesus, being the amazing person he is, I mean, he's God. He turns it over and say, hey, what's written in the law? You the expert? What's written in the law, he replied. And then he asked for his opinion. And you know experts like to talk about what they, you know, what they know. And some of us like to talk about what we know. Oh, that's a different lesson for a different day. But he says, how do you read it? Jesus turns it. You're the expert. How do you read it? And he answered. This expert's like, oh, please. Serious? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all of your mind. And as a bonus, love your neighbor as yourself. It's like, Jesus, really? Part of this is the Hebrew Shema that I've learned from my youth. To hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and we're to love him with everything that we have. And he says to love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm thinking about, how do we value the true needs of others? How do we really value their needs? And the first thing came to mind is that before you value someone's needs, you actually have to value them. You have to value the person. And his response was perfect, as we'll read. Love God, and you have to love people. But if we're honest, how do we really value people? How do we value others? And a lot of times, the way we value others is based on how valuable they are to us. How profitable they are to us. And here, this expert of the law, again, he shares that, look, you got to love God and you have to love your neighbor. You have to love people. And the true measure of our devotion to God is really expressed in how we treat others. John, the disciple, said, you cannot love God who you have not seen and hate your brother who you see every day. It doesn't work like that. It's not happening. You cannot love God with everything and ignore your brother. And again, we value people in different ways. We value if they agree with us. We have value. We value them. But if they don't agree with us, in our eyes, they're less than. And this is what God is trying to get us to understand, that to value one another, we have to understand, and this is a Latin phrase of the Imago Dei, that we have been created, everyone, been created in his image, in the image of God, and we are to reflect his image. So as I mentioned about racism some time ago, I said it's not a skin issue, it's a sin issue. Anytime we can see anyone less than that image, that's when we fall short, because if you can see them less than, you'll treat them less than. And so Jesus goes on to say, to his response of loving God and loving man, Jesus says this. He said, ding. Good answer. Good answer. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. But then he didn't leave it at that. This is what Jesus says next. He says, do this and you will live. Do it. And I think sometimes the problem that we have as Christians is that we have good preaching, but poor practice. All right, I'm gonna look over here. Yeah. Because what he said was nice, what he said was right. But his application was different. And so Jesus cuts through right to his heart and says, in a way that Nike says, just do it. Put it into practice. And here's, instead of walking away and saying, I got some work to do, listen to what this man did. He wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, I got a question for you, Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Because I'm thinking in the back of his mind, he was like, oh, you walked away. You saw that need and you walked away from it. Well, you're not really my neighbor. See, when you, the saying is, when there's something that you don't want to do, you'll find an excuse. But when there's something that you want to do, you'll find a way. Oh, yeah. If it's, and my wife will call me out, I'm tired. Then you get a phone call like 5 minutes later to go play basketball, and all of a sudden you get this energy. Well, you know, let me stretch. So he's, instead of just walking away and saying, I need help with this, God, he tries to justify and say, who is my neighbor? And Jesus shares this simple but profound story that has challenged the world from this point. And today it challenges us as committed friends to be available when called and to value the needs of others. Jesus actually expands. He blows up the mindset of what a neighbor was. And he's talking to a Jewish man, and they knew, according to Leviticus 19 and 18, that their neighbor was actually a person of their own kind. And Jesus said, I got a story for you. In reply, Jesus said this: a man was going down to Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away. They beat him down and walked away, leaving him half dead. Jerusalem to Jericho, they said, was like an 18-mile journey. And in the 18 miles, there's 3,500 feet drop, winding road where it was treacherous, where people could hide in different places. So he was talking in directly in his context. In fact, they call that road the way of blood because stuff would happen on that road. And they beat him up and left him half dead. And now Jesus introduced a couple of characters to this story. He said, by chance, a priest just happened to be going down that same road. A priest, somebody that is following God, responsible for the duties of church or the temple, if you will. He's going down the same road with his beats on, singing, how great is our God. No, I'm sorry. He's walking down the same road, and it says, when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. It's like, nope, not today. Because if I, you know, he's bleeding, and if I get blood on me, then I'm unclean. Or this could possibly be a setup or whatever his mind, I don't know if it was, you know, his agenda, whatever it was, but he saw the man, and he walked on the other side. A Levite. He says, so to a Levite, which if you would, like a staff member. He said, when he came to the place, came to the same location, and he saw him, and he had the same response. He saw the man there, and he's like, yep, God bless you. You know how often we God bless people? When really God bless you to bless them. He had the same response. So how do we really value the needs of others? And to be honest, again, the characters that he introduced were Jews. They were all Jews. The priest, the Levite, the man that was beat up. And this is how, as the story goes on, this is how we value the needs of others. To value the true needs of others, we must open our eyes. I'm going to show you something here. It says, but a Samaritan. And can you imagine when Jesus said a Samaritan, how this Jewish audience was like, where are you going with this story? because Samaritans and Jews were bitter enemies. There was racial divide, political divide. Bitter enemies. They would not even, the Jews would not even walk. They didn't want to touch a Samaritan because they would be unclean, because they considered them half-breed. And Jesus introduced the next character, which is a Samaritan. It says, as he traveled, listen what he said, came where the man was. Pause. He came where the guy was. See, the priest and the Levite saw from a distance. They saw him, but they didn't come to where he was. And see, when we're at a distance, we can always judge why that person's in that situation. I've heard it many times. Why don't you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps? Because we're talking from a distance. If you get close enough, you may find out that they don't have boots. Or they might be missing limbs. And see, the Samaritan, it says, came where he was. And see, next week, we're going to be diving into the cross-cultural aspect of seeing people where they are, understanding and being conscious of their context. So I'll drop that plug in so you have to come next week, invite a friend. But he came where he was, and he said he saw him. First he came to where he was, and then it specifies he saw him. And he took pity on him. When you get close enough to someone else, you'll see why they're hurting. You can see their wounds. You can see their pain. And instead of responding with judgment, you can respond with compassion, because you're not seeing it from your perspective. You're seeing it from theirs. And so we have to open our eyes. And to value the true needs of others, we must not only open our eyes, but open our hearts. Listen what happens next. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he put the man on his own donkey, picked the guy up. In other words, this guy walked. I don't know how far the inn was, but he said he brought him to an inn and then he took care of him. He walked. He brought this man to a place of safety and took care of him. This Samaritan spent a night with a Jewish person. This story is just like, I'm sure that the men around and women around were like, come on, Jesus, serious? He spent the night caring for them. And then verse 35 says, the next day he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and he gave it to the innkeeper and said, look after him. So to value the true needs of others, we have to open our hands. We got to live open-handedly. We must open our hands. Took him out, gave him to the innkeeper, told him to look after him. And listen what he says. This is just not a project. He said, when I come back, when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense. Jesus is just blowing their minds with this story. Like, come on. I want to check out. And then Jesus gives a question that, again, confronts his heart and exposes the commitment, the true commitment of friends. He asked this question, which of these three do you think was a neighbor? You asked a question, who was the neighbor? He said, which of the three you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert of the law said, the one. Didn't even want to say Samaritan. The one who had mercy on him. And then again, Jesus tells him this. Go do it. Go do likewise. He expanded the definition of what a neighbor or what a friend is. And if we're to live as committed friends, if we're going to live to where God is calling us in this moment in our history, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, people will be reading about this moment. They'll be reading about 2020. And if we are to live into this, that will bring honor and glory to God, we have to understand that meeting the needs of others is not restricted to those who are in our circle. Those, again, who look like us and vote like us. Yep, I said it. Those who dress like us and we're on the same socioeconomic status. No, because if we really believe in the Imago Dei, if we really believe this person was created in the image of God, it will not be restricted to those in our circle, but those that are within our reach. People that you can reach out and grab hold of. People that, again, the call has been tugging on your heart and you're wondering, should I? Could I? But we don't agree. But we're bitter enemies. He said, no, are they in your reach? Because my brothers and sisters, and the band, you can come up. Is this not what Jesus did for us? Think about it. Is this not exactly what Jesus did for you and I? Life had beat us down. We were not just left half dead. The scripture tells us we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were messed up from the floor up. But God, who is rich in mercy, our God, he came. He was, if you will, the Samaritan for us. And picked us up out of our mess and stayed with us. Nursed us to health, and he's still with us today. And Dr. King, he spoke on this passage some time ago. And he mentioned that the priest and the Levite, when they saw this man, their thought was this: if I stop, what's going to happen to me? That's what was in their mind. If I stop and help this guy, what's going to happen? Am I going to be late? Am I going to blah, 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 blah. What's going to happen to me? But he said the Samaritan's mindset was, if I don't stop, what's going to happen to him? Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of needs in our community. There's a lot of needs right among us. And the question we should be asking ourselves is, if I don't stop, what will happen to these children? If I don't stop, what's going to happen to this brother or this sister? If I don't stop, because it's calling, it's tugging on your heart. And I don't know about you, but I'm wondering if I have some people here that's ready to answer the call? Is there anybody here that's ready to say, yes, God? Yeah. Is there anybody bold enough to say, show me the need? To incorporate that in your prayer. Show me the need that you want me to step into. Let's bow our heads and pray. If I don't know who you are in this story, when you hear it, you may have been that priest or the Levi or the Samaritan, or you may be that one that's been beat down, ready to throw in the towel. You've been left for dead. That may be you. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus is here to lift you, to raise you. And you have a community of people that is bold enough to step to the need, to be available when we call. And I encourage you, if you're that one that feels like you've been beat down, that you will open your heart right now and just tell Jesus yes. To tell him, I give you my life. I want to be on this journey. Maybe you've been that priest or that Levi that saw needs, and because of who it was, you've been skeptical about stepping into it. I'm asking you in this moment to make a choice not to ignore the call, but to answer it. The tug on your heart, just saying yes to Jesus. And Father, we thank you right now for, again, this journey that we're on. If we take this lesson and we begin to pray, show us the need, boy, this world would be changed. Our communities would change. Our homes would change. I pray, Lord God, that we would open our eyes, that we would step close enough to see, really see, the pain, see why people are hurting, and not be so offended by their cries from their pain. Help us to be this community, the church, this body that will live into that. For that very one, Lord, that is saying yes to you for the first time, I'm asking you, Lord, that you wrap your arms around them and receive them. Lord, Life Church Auburn Hills will be the church that is standing ready to do your work, to be available when we're called. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about us, visit us online at lifechurchauburnhills.org.